Amen. Well, I want to welcome everyone here tonight. I got the green light. I'm on. And I want to welcome those that are listening around the world on the web. Welcome. And even if you're not listening live tonight and you're listening to a recorded message, I look at it as it's live anyhow. So welcome those that are listening to a recorded message live. How'd you like that one? And with that being said, tonight, we want to kind of keep the flow of what really God is saying in this hour. And, 2,000 years ago, Jesus was brought on earth, and he had a message. And that message was really against, or actually God says, I desire no more sacrifices. Basically, he says, I don't want any more sacrifices, and I'm going to dwell with man. I'm going to write my laws on their heart, and I'm going to dwell with man now. And I don't desire any more blood sacrifices. And that's why Jesus was looked upon as the lamb and the ultimate sacrifice of the remission of sin. But there's a lot more depth to that. And today, in the world, in the religious sector today, Christianity has become very watered down in the doctrine or the revelation or the depths of knowledge. And they have taken it very shallow. And God is desiring, really, to put away these differences, the doctrine, beliefs, so to say, and understand about having a relationship with him and him only. There's a lot of prophets out there, revelational knowledge individuals who are proclaiming a lot of things. And, one of the things is the second coming of Christ. And, there's a lot of controversy. What is the second coming of Christ? And most people think that it's going to be, Jesus riding on a white horse coming through the clouds. And, it's going to come in here and blah. Well, to be honest with you, I truly believe, and so does the other pastors here. I'm with Pastor Sam on my right, Pastor Tim on my left. And, we truly believe it's a revelational knowledge of Christ that is coming to the church in this hour. And it is allowing our eyes to open up and be able to see the deeper meaning or the deeper revelation of that has been in Scripture for, thousands and thousands of years. And right now, it's bringing a lot of controversy because the churches just don't want to put down their traditions or their beliefs and humble themselves in a point of, what do I do about Mary? I got to put her down now. I got to put down the saints and, I got to do away with being the priest in the box and receiving all the prayers of the people. And God is saying, I desire a relationship, and you can come directly to me now. And, there's a lot of religions that believe that they can go directly to God also, but a lot of them are going through the prophets. And in the Christian church, it's almost like you're saying a bad word if you call Jesus a prophet. And, we have to begin to start realizing what Jesus was in this hour. If we really want to lay hold of the second coming of Christ and we want to understand what Christ is and exactly who the Antichrist is. The Antichrist, people are thinking they're looking for one person. This one's the Antichrist or this one's the Antichrist. But the reality is the Antichrist is the one, everyone that doesn't believe in Christ, which is... Now we got to ask who Christ is. And Christ is that divine nature that is a seed that is living in everyone. You don't even have to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior to even understand, to have Christ in you. I look at a lot of individuals out there and they may have never went to church, but there's a seed of Christ inside of them. And all they need to do is to be awakened.
That's right.
And say, there's a divine nature that's inside of you. Really? Yes. And let us crack it open. Let us water it. Let us plant it in your soul the soil of your soul. Let us plant that seed of Christ in this soul soil, we'll call it. And then we'll water it. And watering it is by knowledge of, I guess, relationship with God, how to trust in God, the glory of God, and move beyond and past, you know, these traditions of doctrines. And I feel somewhat bad saying these things because a lot of people might say, well, you know, you're discrediting and you're not allowing Jesus to be the Son of God and all that, which is totally wrong in what your thoughts are, if you're thinking that. Because I truly believe in Jesus and that he was sent 2,000 years ago. He was sent to change the doctrine that has already been laid by Moses. And it was saying that there is no more tablets of stone. You know, there was no more law of man, but the law that God established on the hearts of us. So he says, God says, I'm going to establish a law now written on your heart and do away with the law of religion, let's say. The religious law that man has wrote in the church. And then another thing that Jesus came to say was, no more sacrificing animals. We're done with sacrificing animals. And back then, there was a slaughterhouse. They were sacrificing lambs. They were sacrificing pigeons. They were sacrificing, I would say, goats too. I don't know. They were sacrificing everything. And, you know, they would go to the priest, buy the animals from the priest, and the priest would then, you know, sanctify them and give them the old, and then they would just shed the blood on the altar, and then that was the remission of sin. Depending on what sin you had, depended on, you know, how great of the animal. You know, it could have been two turtle doves or something, or oh, this one's a big one, let's get a lamb on this one, you know. I don't know the whole details of it, but I just know the basics. And then I look at this as the biggie, you know, besides the sacrificing of the animals, but the fact that God no longer dwells in the temple. There used to be where the high priest would only go into the temple and they would have a little bell on their garment and tied to a rope. And if they didn't hear the bell ding-a-ling-a-ling, then they knew that the priest got whacked by the Shekinah glory that was encamped in the temple back then.
Yep.
And so God, when he sent Jesus, and when Jesus died on the cross, it was finished in the sense that I have changed my ways. My message is now being changed. Yep. I don't desire a sacrifice anymore. I don't desire me staying in the temple anymore. I'm going to now dwell with man, and I'm going to plant the seed of Christ inside, so now they're all going to be sons and daughters of me. And then he said that he was going to write his laws on our hearts, so now there's no doctrinal laws that they have to start following by works. It's going to be all faith and conviction or belief. And following the heart. And this is the hour that I truly want to say we're in the second coming of Christ. Because just as the first Christ came, which made him the Son of God, okay? And I'm not going to deny that Jesus wasn't the Son of God. And I'm not going to deny that he was a prophet. And I'm not going to deny that he is a teacher. And I'm not going to deny that he was a man. Because it all says it there in the scriptures. But at this time, in this hour, it's like the second, I'm not going to say it's like, it is the second coming of Christ, where the revelation knowledge is now opened our eyes, if they have eyes to see, and our eyes have opened up to the point where now we see that God has planted a seed of Christ in all of mankind.
You know,
that God isn't dwelling in a temple right now. When Jesus died, he made a comment that it was finished, that the remission of sin now. Jesus was the ultimate blood sacrifice, the lamb that was shed. And God said, it's no longer about sacrificing for sin. Grace has now come into the picture. I think we've tended to roll over the revelation of grace.
Which is revelation knowledge from God.
Exactly.
To
right.
you, mm-hmm. so that you can move in him as far as the revelation knowledge that he gives every single day.
Exactly right. And that revelational knowledge in through grace, because we are now not saved through Jesus Christ, right. who died for our sins.
Grace
we are faith. Saved through grace.
That's right.
And
correct.
Grace is given to us in this way. Because of the ultimate blood sacrifice that God gave us, which is Jesus Christ, okay, he used him as the lamb, but really he was a messenger to say God no longer desires blood sacrifices. So God took the messenger who said he doesn't desire, because God had to speak through someone.
Correct.
And that's what made Jesus a prophet. God spoke through Jesus as a prophet and said, I am the lamb that is coming to take away the sacrifices that were for the remission of sin, and now there is no more sin. It is now grace.
Correct. Correct.
And so so he laid his life down, shed his blood, but it wasn't the blood that Jesus shed that gave our sins away.
Correct.
It was the grace that God brought in.
Correct.
To us, because he didn't desire blood sacrifices anymore.
And he followed the grace. If you take a look at Jesus, how did he know? Because he knew the Father. He followed the Father. He said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. I do what the Father tells me to say. That was the grace. He followed that.
Well, it's interesting that you're saying, because Jesus is the King of glory.
Yep.
Okay? And the church doesn't understand what it is to be in glory. And glory is the knowledge of grace. Glory is the knowledge of Christ.
Right.
And Jesus, being the King of glory, walked in grace before supposedly the remission of sin.
True.
And he also walked in the realm of glory through grace, as far as him knowing that his sins were already washed away, because he used that analogy, those who are without sin throw the first stone. So he knew that sin wasn't counted for him. Then he also knew the glory in the sense that God didn't dwell in the tabernacle anymore. And this is important. He knew that God dwelt in him.
Correct. The relationship in him.
And
correct.
Also what made him the King of glory was he also knew that the seed of Christ dwelled inside of him.
Exactly.
That's what made Jesus Christ,
correct.
The Son of God.
Right.
Okay, so our listeners have to understand this. And that's what made him the King of glory. So the second coming of Christ is the revelation of the glory.
Correct.
And I want the church to understand, because they're like this close in having the knowledge of the glory, talking about the glory and understanding the presence of God and stuff like that, but they are not putting the proper elements in to make the glory. You see, glory is like our recipe. And if you don't have the proper ingredients in the glory, you don't have glory. Okay? So the ingredients in the glory is, one, there is no more remission of sin. It's grace.
Yep.
And grace is this. If you aren't knowingly knowing that you're not doing anything wrong, there's no conviction in your heart, then God ultimately blots out your sin. So you're without sin. The only time that sin actually is manifested in the eyes of God is when an individual is convicted in something that they know that they're doing something wrong, and they choose not to repent. And repent is not saying I'm sorry. Repent is a matter of changing the way you're thinking so you're no longer doing that anymore. You resist it.
You resist it.
And you cry out, Lord, help me cleanse myself in the sense of resisting this conviction so I don't feel dirty about it anymore. For example, let's take something common. Drinking, for example. Drinking is not a sin. If you want to drink. Go right ahead. But if all of a sudden you have a conviction to say, you know what, drinking is not good for you anymore. You better stop it. You know, it's getting you in trouble.
And
you're not handling it. And you're not following it.
Yep.
Now that's sin. Okay. And correct. Then God will throw some penalties on you. Maybe get you a cop to pull you over and get you to lose your license. You know, or you might have 10 other people say, you better stop, you know, drinking or something. But that's just a minor example of showing how sin is developed in the eyes of God. And we have to understand that sin in the eyes of God, okay, is only through the heart, because God
correct.
Wrote the law on the heart.
Correct.
This is grace and this is glory. And we have to understand the glory, because the law is written on our hearts, and that's the realm of glory. If you can follow that, you're in glory. You're in the kingdom of God. You're in glory.
Amen.
So now you've turned from your wicked way, so to say, through repentance, because in the realm of glory and the forgiveness of sin, it only comes through the renewing of the mind. And the church has to understand this. It's no longer Jesus taking away the sins. Jesus took away the blood sacrifices and brought in grace.
Correct.
Okay, how many people understand that one?
Yep.
Good. It's very important we understand this, so that this way we don't look like bad guys talking about Jesus Christ. I don't want anyone to think that we're bad guys when we're trying to bring in Jesus Christ the proper way, the King of Glory, and we are to be called sons of God also. Yep. Now, what causes us to become sons of God also is when we have the knowledge of this glory. We have the knowledge of grace. And we have the knowledge of the seed of Christ dwelling inside of us. And that we are now yielded to the relationship with God.
Yep.
And we worship God and God only.
The Father. Yep.
So that we can receive the revelation, to receive the manna, to receive the bread, you know, give us this daily bread, you know. And come to that place of renewing our minds into the divine nature of Christ, and then know that we don't walk in guilt and shame and condemnation because we walk now in Christ.
Correct.
And now we are saved by grace. This is glory. This is the second coming of Christ. This revelation, this knowledge that is given to us is literally the second coming of Christ. Because the first coming of Christ was to take away the blood sacrifices and to take away the old laws,
the guilt and sin.
Away God being in the temple. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he ripped the curtain from the temple.
It was torn.
That was an indication, and the earthquake shaking the temple, that was an indication of really the Spirit of God, God himself, being free from the temple and now coming into man.
That's right.
Isn't this beautiful?
I mean, if
anybody's listening to us for the first time, they should be like, oh, this is the greatest thing I've ever heard in my life.
I have scripture to back up what you're saying.
Oh, of course. Everything that's being said is in scripture.
This is for the religious folk out there that's paying attention tonight. Okay? In John 4.
We're real over here.
In John 4,
we love
21,
everyone.
It says, Jesus said unto this woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Doesn't say anything about worshiping Jesus, by the way. Okay? It says, ye worship, you know what? Not. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him.
This is where we're in now.
And it says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
This is it. This is where we're at right now. And I'm so glad that you found that scripture verse, because you know, there's a lot of truth that we have, and we can dig in the Bible and everything else, but we are really speaking through the Spirit.
Amen.
And through what God has imparted to us. And, you know, to back it up through Scripture, everything that we're saying is in Scripture.
It's Scripture.
I'm going to tell you right now, everything we're saying is in Scripture. And then that Scripture right there really clarifies, you know, what we have just said.
You know, this ministry, what we speak on the whole truth. We don't take it in part. We don't take it from here and there, and then we try to make it work for what we want to hear. We take it as a whole so that we can present it to everybody here and out there so they can come to the full truth.
Well, we have to. First of all, this ministry has been divinely raised for this hour. It wasn't like we said one day, this is what we're going to be. You know, it was like, if we're not, we got the hand of God that's going to smack us, and we just are walking in a reverence, honor, and a reverence fear of the Lord, knowing that we have to become bondservants and slaves to the message.
True.
So we're yielding ourselves as best as we can to the message. And, you know, we know that we're going to come under persecution. We know that the things that we're going to bring forth in this hour is no different than when Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago. Because he came with a message that was against the church, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, we didn't say we don't like the church and we're going to become rebels and we're going to mess up the church and stir it up and come up with our own doctrine just to try to bring problems in the church. That wasn't our plan. Our plan was to
just
really
to worship God.
Bring unity to the church. No, we want to bring unity to the church. I mean, I personally want to bring unity to the Asians, the Muslims, the Jews, the Hindis, I call them, the Hindi
Christians.
The Christians.
The
50 doctrine Christians out there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And bring that unity, because really, if you just put down the nonsense and take this truth right here and worship God, where's the division then? You see? Where's the division? There is no division. There is no division. We can all come and worship God. You know, and then let prophecy speak, and then let prophecy have its interpretation. Let those that are embedded and walking in sanctification come and confirm and back up. But, you know, the glory has to be a part of your life right now. And I hope and pray that we've been prophetically speaking. And, you know, it's funny that there are some prophets out there that are prophetically speaking the word of God without knowledge, though. They don't understand what God is saying about the new wine and the new wineskin. They're sparked about the new wine, and then they come with their own interpretation. The new wineskin is literally the religious doctrine of old, and you have to take it off. You have to take off the old wineskin. And the new wine is the revelation of the glory. Yeah. It's the revelation of the glory. It's about being saved by grace, not by the death of Jesus Christ.
Right.
It's about being saved by grace. It means that God is no longer looking at anyone's sins, period.
Right.
It's not because Jesus Christ died on the cross. God took a lamb, like one big lamb, and slaughtered it for everybody. It just happened to be Jesus Christ was the messenger of the Lamb. And he used it in a natural way where Jesus laid his life down to be the Lamb. And God said, I'm going to slaughter him.
Yep.
You know, because Jesus said to Pontius Pilate, you have no authority over me unless my Father in heaven has given it to him. So ultimately, God slaughtered Jesus. But, you know, of course, the church said, crucify, crucify. You know? But he was the big whammy lamb, okay, that was slaughtered
once and for all,
to say once and for all, I don't count your sins against you.
Correct.
I am now going to pour out this thing called grace.
Which is my revelation.
Yeah, of love.
Yeah.
It's my revelation of love. I'm not going to count these sins against you anymore. I love you. I love you for just the way you are. And now I'm going to help you. I'm going to no longer write the laws on these tablets that these priests have. I'm going to write my laws on your heart. And those laws are conviction or condemnation, basically. You know, how are you receiving it? You know, how many people have experienced your heart and telling you that you need to do something? It could be anything. You know, make a phone call or go say you're sorry to somebody or go pick up that friend, you know, or whatever it might be. Go help out a brother or what have you. Has anyone listened to their heart before and they obeyed their heart? Okay, that's the laws written on your heart. That's God's laws written on your heart. You know, please don't think it's just you. It's not you. God now dwells with man. God's a part of us. That what needs to be awakened, literally, is the seed. We have to understand that there's a seed. And this is where the church needs to re-change the way they're thinking.
Right.
Stop condemning everyone as far as their sins, getting them to believe in Jesus Christ for the washing of their sins. Get them to embrace grace. That's what God's desire was.
Amen.
To embrace Amen. Grace. It wasn't to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. It was to accept grace. That God doesn't desire any more sacrifices. It's, I don't count these sins against you. I don't impute these sins against you anymore. I don't look at these as sin. I'm going to write the law on your heart now. And now, if you've don't listen to the law, and you don't come under obedience, and you break the law, now it becomes sin.
Yeah.
Now it's become sin in my eyes. And because God wrote a law in heaven, you know, there are some sins that he can't forgive. Unless, and this is what I say, it's so beautiful,
repents.
Change the way you're thinking. Yep. And that's why it's so important to water that seed. This, in this hour, right now, it's so important, not only to tell those out there listening about grace and how God loves us so much that he don't count the sin against us, but also to tell them about the Christ, the seed of Christ that's in them. There's a divine nature inside of you. All you got to do is accept it. That accept that, that you're a child of God, that you are a son of God. Once you accept the Son of God, now you can have a relationship with God. And then, of course, log into us so that we can help you water that seed. You can water it on your own through a relationship with God. But there's also another power out there that's dark, and it doesn't want you to, you know, have the seed of Christ raised up. And they don't, the darkness wants to kill the sons and daughters of God.
Absolutely.
They want to put guilt and condemnation. They want to put shame. They want to bring sin back into your life.
Religion.
They don't want grace in your life. How many people sometimes feel dirty or guilty about things? Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, that's darkness taking away grace. That's darkness in your life stealing grace away. He says, my children suffer or they perish because of lack of knowledge.
Right.
And because you don't have the knowledge of grace, you got to receive grace. God forgives you. Boom. Okay, and if you start feeling guilty, there is no condemnation in Christ, you see?
Right.
And if you don't understand grace, then it's really hard for you to grab Christ, the seed, the divine nature, the child of God.
But that's where it comes from, where he says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. What are you being transformed from?
The old man.
That's exactly right.
So, and also the self-human thing.
Correct.
Because one of the things about glory is it's very important that you become immortal.
Correct.
Okay? So that you can put on the incorruptible.
Correct.
The incorruption.
Immortal. Yep, and immortality.
The incorruptible.
Yep.
And this is something where we come and teach you about becoming immortal. You can come in a mortal body, and you can come immortal.
That's right.
By changing the way you're thinking.
That's the transformation, is
yes.
Changing the way you're thinking.
Meditating on the things above. Coming to the place where you trust God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and you have a relationship with God, so that this way your mind is renewed and you're no longer carnal in the thoughts of carnal where, woe is me, how am I ever going to get out of this? Who's going to save me? I'm lost. How am I going to pay this bill? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? And you're so troubled and worked up with the things of the world. You're so worked up with the things of the natural. When God knows your needs, God knows, you know, and he supplies your needs. And, you know, he makes everything. He'll never give you more than you can handle.
Spiritually minded.
Yep. You become spiritually minded, which then brings you into a place of being a son or a daughter of God.
Correct.
Now, because Jesus knew this, that's what made him not only a man, Jesus, but a teacher, a prophet, and a son of God. Because we know this in glory, we now are sons of God.
You know, it's amazing that in Scripture,
Tim, you're a son of God.
Yeah, I am.
Sam's a son of God.
That in the Scriptures,
and you're a son of God. Isn't that so cool, man?
Jesus,
and you're a son of you're the daughter of God. I'm sorry, I'm gonna let him, but I'm having a fun here.
In the Scriptures, Jesus only preached about God. Every message was about God and the kingdom of heaven. Then he preached to the apostles, and just because he preached to them and because they received about knowledge about God, they became just like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
When he died, they moved in the same miracle signs and wonders that he did, and greater things that he did, they did. When they walked by people, their shadows healed the sick,
mm-hmm.
not just Jesus. God was trying to show people and show us that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us by having the apostles who are unlearned, uneducated men became just like Jesus in the Bible. There's a reflection right there. You don't have to go any further to look. Right there, he had the men who followed him, and even Paul, who never even met Jesus. He never even met him, but he heard the teachings about God and the kingdom of heaven. See, people have taken the Scriptures and turned them all around, and you preach about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But Jesus said he preached about the Father and about the kingdom of heaven. That's how these guys got the revelation they got, and they got glory, and they got changed, and they got transformed, and they moved in the same miracles that he moved in. And Paul never met him, but he heard the teachings, and God, you know, just like he hit him, miraculously dropped the revelation on him, and he walked in the same miracles they did. And God was trying to show us that every man can have this. Not mm-hmm. just Jesus, but the apostles moved in the same miracles they did. It's no different than what should be happening today. And it's greater than today because, you know, he said when the darkness pours more out, then the Spirit pours out stronger too in the last days.
And because, you know, obviously we are in the last days. It's obvious. I mean, look, we're going to see some things coming up very shortly. And this is why I think we're raised up in this hour. And you know, it's not by accident.
Right.
It really isn't. And we are children of glory. We literally are. And I thank God that not only what he did with me, I was birthed in glory, but then it allowed, you know, our eyes to be opened up in the realm of glory. And truly, we have a strong conviction in our hearts in this truth. And we have rejected and turned down a lot of big, big doctrines or big, big ministries.
Oh, yeah.
That wanted to come alongside or allow us to come alongside of them and say, you know, we'll give you all this if you basically bow down to us. And we were like, no, we can't do it because your doctrine doesn't line up. You're like eating old manna here. You're not understanding the glory that we're bringing across. And at that time, to be honest with you, I don't know if we were able to really verbalize it. We knew the glory.
Yep.
You know, we tasted the glory. We knew the glory, but we didn't have the English words to bring it on earth at that time. Now you're looking at 20 years, you know. We've been sitting and basking in the realm of glory now for 20 years, and it's just now, in 20 years, we're boldly enough now to come out and say to the church out there that they got to stop doing what they're doing in the sense of their doctrine. They're suffering the people.
Correct.
This is the sad thing.
People aren't changing.
They aren't changing because they don't know how.
That's exactly right.
They don't know the direction on having the mind of Christ. They're like taking the rest of the Bible, like Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Acts. No, I think they're in Acts. Because they're telling everybody to go out there and prophesy. They're telling everybody to go out
Correct.
There and heal the sick and speak in tongues and talk in the, you know, tongues of angels and all this other stuff. So they're acting under the power of the Holy Spirit, but they don't understand. They're taking the Holy Spirit as a third person when the reality is the Holy Spirit is nothing more than really the knowledge of the glory of God.
Correct.
It's God dwelling within you.
Within you.
You know, it's not like God is still on the mountain, Jesus is still on the cross, and or he resurrected, you know, and now he's up in heaven at the right hand side of God. But we can still name drop and take the authority of his name and cast out devils. And now we got this helper called the Holy Spirit,
right.
Which the reality of the truth is, it's God.
That's right.
You have a part of God dwelling inside
in you.
Of you. And that's why Jesus says, I only say what the Father tells me to say, and I only do what the Father tells me to do. Was he supposed to say, I only say what the Holy Spirit tells me to say, and I only do what the Holy Spirit tells me to do? No. See, at that point in time, the revelation of the glory wasn't out to the disciples yet. They were coming into the revelation.
Correct.
And so there was really no mention of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus made it kind of more palatable for them to receive because of God being so much of a deity back then. I mean, you were in the Shekinah glory. You were dead. The priest couldn't even stand in the Shekinah glory. And so to them, how could God dwell when if you were in the presence of God, you were dead?
Correct.
Well, God has graciously given us a mystery to where we can now die to the flesh and be in the glory without being physically dead.
True.
You see? And now God can dwell with us without physically dying because the flesh has to die. This is why the church is suffering. They're allowing them to act in the religious form of godliness, but they are not crucifying their flesh.
Correct.
Right. And God can't dwell with them, basically, because they are in flesh.
Not changing the way they think.
Now, what causes them to be in flesh, which is very important, sin. So if they're being convicted and they're not listening to the convictions, then they're not coming out of sin, Amen. And they're in flesh. So what I'm saying is, if you're a believer out there for the first time, I'm going to tell you right now, embrace this message right now. Grab hold of the grace and know that God dwells with you and forget about sin. You're without sin. Boom. Because you have no knowledge of this.
You know, it is so important. You know, we are saved by grace, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we know it's the revelation love of God. We come to a revelation of the love of God. But what are we saved from? It's guilt, shame, and condemnation.
Mm-hmm.
That's what kills you. When people are in that and they stay in that, it's death. It's coming to death. You don't have a life in that. And that's why grace saves you. The love of God, having that revelation of the love of God saves your life and creates a life in you. And that's Christ. It's Christ, the divine nature within you. You come to that revelation through the love of God,
mm-hmm.
that he's in you and he dwells in you, and you no longer have sin, so there is no guilt, shame, and condemnation to those that are in Christ, because it's the revelation, it's the grace that you come into.
Now, what begins to manifest and put this all together is like the glue,
yeah.
is faith.
Correct.
Correct.
You have to believe.
You have to come to a realization.
You have to believe.
It's a realization here.
Yep.
It's not in your mind, because you can have faith in your mind. It doesn't mean a hill of beans.
Right.
You have to have a realization. It has to be transparent in your mm-hmm. heart to believe that.
Exactly right.
And you have confidence. It's a confidence.
Yep. And so when you apply faith to this, it's a substance that brings it into existence.
Existence, exactly.
So when you have faith to believe in grace, that substance forgives your sin.
Yep.
If you have faith to believe in the divine nature of Christ,
yeah.
it brings into an existence an awareness of being a child of God. So if you have faith to believe in those two substances, with that third substance of faith, I call it the third day, there's a resurrection of immortality and yeah. incorruptible.
Okay.
And you now become an incorruptible man in immortality. So you become, I want to really truly say, born again.
Yep.
This is the true message of born again, not the old thought. Now, I'm not here to condemn anyone and say that they were wrong, because it's just like saying the Pharisees and the Sadducees and those that were following the law of Moses back before Jesus was wrong. They weren't wrong.
No.
They were right for the time. They were right yeah. for the hour. But when Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago and he told the people that I'm coming and I am the Messiah that was prophesied coming, and you need to now realize that God isn't dwelling in the temples and the sacrifice of animals he desires no more,
yep.
and that I'm going to now write the laws on their hearts.
And dwell in you.
And it's time for you to change. They just needed to say, okay.
That's exactly right.
And accept it. And I'm asking for the church to actually come to a place now that it's the second coming and we're the messengers that are being called to come forth to say to the church, just like Jesus said 2,000 years ago, that was the first coming, this is the second coming, we're just messengers, and I'm sure that there's thousands of other messengers around the world that are probably hearkening to this message too, but they don't have the goal to come out and say it because they're afraid to be persecuted, which I can understand because nobody wants to be persecuted when you're just doing what the Father's telling you to do. And we're coming here to say now what has been done in the past is no different than what was done before Jesus came.
That's right.
And it's not wrong.
No.
What you did in the past. Oh, hallelujah.
It brought you to right here. It brought you to this place.
It's right time to change and repent from what you're doing and receive the new wine. So that you get, and put on the new wineskins.
Yeah. It says that to as many as received him, he gave them the power to become sons of God.
Yeah.
As many as received Christ, gave them power to become sons of God. Simple as that. Like you said, you just got to receive it. You got to believe it. You got to receive it.
And take this message and just change the way you're thinking now. And come into the new. And I'm sure Jesus felt the same way.
Yeah.
He was probably saying, listen, man, I'm so sorry. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm not here to, you know, say that you were wrong. I'm just here to tell you there's a new.
You know what makes sense, too? Grace is like, take a picture an onion. And when you start peeling back an onion, there's so many different layers. Well, that's what the revelation is. There's so many layers of God that you're just peeling back, and you're like, more, more, more. And it keeps going and going and going. And what's happened with the church out everywhere is it stopped. It stopped. It just said, okay, I'm going to rest on this revelation, and I'm not going to ever change from it. Well, and God's saying, no, but I got more for you.
I'm sure that that's what they were doing 2,000 years ago, before Jesus came.
Correct.
Now, I don't know how long it took for the church to actually accept Jesus Christ and his resurrection.
I don't know.
I don't know. So somewhere 2,000 years, the church began to proclaim that revelation of the ultimate lamb that was slain and stopped killing and slaughtering animals. You know, they began to start believing that God actually speaks to us and we don't have to go into a temple.
Correct.
You know, they began to start following this truth that Jesus brought.
Yeah.
You know, and I look at it this way. It's God who opens up the eyes. And it's God who opens up the ears. And I look at it as God began to start opening up eyes and began to open up ears. And if you look in the book of Revelations, it's always been spoken that those who have an ear will hear.
True.
And those who have the eye to see will see. And my prayer is that if you're hearing us tonight and you're listening to it pre-recorded, or if you're out there in our group here, that our eyes would be opened up. I thank God my eyes are opened up. I really am. But I'm not here to condemn anyone's eyes that aren't opened up, because I know it's only the Father that opens up the eyes.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that the power of God, the Holy Spirit, the word that is being spoken, touches you.
Yep.
Amen.
And confirms the message with signs, wonders, and miracles, so that your eyes can see what we see.
Yeah.
And that your ears will hear what we hear. And begin to change and receive the grace and receive Christ into your heart. And move on past the old elementaries, the old, you know, foundations and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They were desiring for people to walk. The apostles were desiring the church to walk in glory.
Yep.
They even said, stop laying hands. They said, stop laying hands and move past baptisms.
Baptisms and
traditions, it says.
And the traditions. The
requirements of this.
Yeah.
It's just.
You know, and I truly believe that if you have this truth of the second coming, so to say, if you have this truth of grace and Christ in your heart and you're being renewed and transformed into the immortal and having the incorruptible, I truly believe it's the shadows of our presence will begin to start delivering the people.
Yeah.
We'll begin to heal the sick.
It's from the glory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll begin to baptize them into the truth, the doctrine. Like, I'm hoping and praying that some of you right now are being baptized.
Yeah.
You see? Being baptized and being enlightened by this truth. Yeah. So, and having this fire that burns inside of you just because we're in that realm of glory. We don't have to lay hands on anyone. It's the shadows of Peter that healed the sick. It's the realm where you can send the word now.
It's the living word coming out of that realm to them that they're hearing.
It's speaking over the airwaves and say, receive now. And this is where I believe God is saying, now it's time for the harvest to come in. But it won't happen until we find those that are willing to yield themselves to this truth and die daily, like Paul says.
Yeah.
I die daily. Every day I die to the flesh. I die to the flesh so that I can be raised with Christ. There's a resurrection power that people don't understand. And that's when you die with Christ, you are raised with Christ.
That's right.
And they're not talking about Jesus. They're talking about the divine seed
in you
that is inside. And it even speaks about the seed of man, you know, and now the seed of Christ, you know?
Yeah, it does.
And we are no longer in the seed of man. We are in the seed of Christ. And we have to take the divine nature on. I hope those that are here and those that are listening will understand that they can just grab it.
Yes.
It's mine. I am now a child of God. I have this seed in me. It's by faith. And you take that seed and you begin to start changing the way you're thinking and live in your heart. If you feel like you shouldn't do anything, that's God telling you don't do it. If you feel like you should do it, that's God telling you to do it. Now he's leading and guiding you, and now he's leading a righteous man's footsteps. This is what brings the righteousness of God. By you just listening to your heart. And a lot of you out there that are listening have been doing this already. They just need to be told that you're doing it. And yeah, keep on going.
That's right.
I truly believe that there is a millennium generation that God has already planted glory inside of them. Yep. And this is why this message is so important. Because the millennium generation with the seed of glory or the realm of glory that is imparted in them, the knowledge of Christ and grace, the old message of Jesus Christ dying on the cross and you believing that he forgave you of the sin is going to taste bitter in their mouth. And they're not going to be able to receive it. It's going to taste bitter and it's going to turn them away from your message.
Right.
Those that are listening and those that have a church out there, is very important to understand this truth. If you're planning on a harvest, if you're planning on trying to reach the lost out there and bring in a generation that God has imputed in them grace and, I would say, the knowledge of the divine nature of God in them. When you speak of the old manna, it's going to taste bad.
It's
going to taste
bitter.
It's going to taste bitter. Yep. And they're not going to understand, and they're going to reject it. But if you tell them about God, if you tell them about the love of God, and if you can tell them about grace and the true message of grace and understanding grace and the law that's written on their heart.
They'll never thirst again.
That's right. And that they will be considered a child of God and encourage them to trust God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Yeah. It's so important to trust God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And I know out there it's impossible because, you know, at first, because God's a spirit. and you can't see a spirit, but you just have to believe and then grab hold of it and begin to lay your life down, sacrifice your will, and allow God's will to take place. And that's relatively easy, to be honest with you. It's simply just listening to your heart. Now, if those out there are unsure and they've been planted like your heart is wicked, and I always tell those that are beginning to have a relationship with God, he knows that you're a little babe. And he kind of giggles when you kind of have a desire to know him and you just happen to hear that voice that was very close, like the angel of light, but it was a dark angel that came in as an angel of light and deceived you. Look, you're gonna find out that that voice wasn't his, and you're gonna start knowing, and you're gonna become a sheep. And he says that all my sheep know my voice, but you gotta like just make an effort to hear all the voices until you learn, until you receive the gift of discernment, I call it. And the gift of discernment will let you know which one is the dark voice and which one is the light voice. And I'm going to tell you right now, the more you walk in it, yeah, the more you walk in it, you're going to realize that the dark voice gets louder and louder and uglier, and you can really tell the pleasant, still, small voice of God and the love of God's voice. And it becomes more clear and more clear. And then without a shadow of a doubt, you know it's God. You know it's God, and your will is down, and you trampled over your will, and you become an incorruptible creature, in the eyes of God. This is glory. This is the hour. And I hope and pray that those that are listening out there, and somehow or another, this gets out to the church. And when I speak of the church, I speak of all nations.
Yeah.
You see? Yep. I speak of all nations.
We don't discriminate.
No, I speak of the Muslims, I speak of the Asians, I speak of the Hindus. They're all churches.
God desires no divisions among us.
That's right. Yep. And, Sam, you told me the other day that the Muslims believe in Jesus.
It's in the Quran.
It's in the Quran.
He created a bird from mud, and he lives forever, and he's going to come back, and this is the second coming right now.
Exactly
so
right.
So the Quran did say he's coming back, and he's here. This is
and they
right here.
And they know for sure. And so there's others that are out there. In different denominations, different cultures, but it's all called the church. And I really want our listeners to understand, when we speak about the church, we're not talking about Christianity. We're talking about all nations.
Yeah.
All nations.
All people are from God. God created everyone.
That's right.
And he put his spirit in everyone.
That's right.
You just need the knowledge now.
Yep. And when we talk about the church, we're just talking about those that are actually believing in a supreme being of God.
Exactly.
And then when they have that in their heart and they are actually searching and looking for the supreme being of God, they are now recognized as the church. They are now looked upon as the church. Yep. So you're the church. Those out there are the church that are seeking. Those that are hearing my voice and seeking this ministry are the church.
Every individual is a church.
Yes.
That's what we're building. We're building each individual with the grace of God's love in you so that you can have a relationship with him.
The Father. He stated that. Yeah. He says, I'm no longer going to build a tabernacle made with hands.
Done away with it.
Yeah. I'm going to now build it by my spirit.
Yep.
And that's what he's doing in this hour. So I got the red light. It's been on for about 5 minutes. I hope and pray that we got all this on tape and we just allowed it to go a little longer. I got bad habits of doing this. I feel really bad, but I want to thank all those that were here today.
You can't help it.
we had to kind of finish, put an end to what we're trying to say. And that's what happens. We tend to go a little longer than what we're supposed to, and it's bad sometimes, but at this time it was good. And to be able to take this out, if you're listening and you heard this message, there may be a lot of loved ones in your life that are very gung-ho on their doctrine, on their beliefs, whether it's Christian, Muslim, Asia, India, whatever. Take this message to them. Let the power of God, if it's his will, to open up their eyes and embrace it. I would say feed all the little chicks out there that are in the millennium. feed them, take this CD, take this message, and just get them to hear it, because I already know that God has implanted the glory in them, and because it's the harvest. It's one generation that he's raising up in glory for the harvest of the generation that's coming in.
You know, I know.
Or I should say the age that's coming in.
The true salvation is waking up that seed of Christ within each individual. That's the true salvation. That's the gospel. You know, all this other stuff that's out there, it's not doing anything. There's no more impact. People have heard it. They bought the T-shirt. I think they're done with it. You know?
We know they're done with it.
Yeah.
It's bitter. It's already shown to us.
Yeah.
It's bitter in their mouth.
Yeah. They're rejecting it.
They're rejecting it. And it is what it is. It's just the timing of God. God's doing a new thing, and it's the way it is.
Yep.
It's not, you know, Pastor Sam and Pastor Tim and myself creating a new doctrine. We're just messengers bringing this message to the church.
It's all scriptural.
And I feel really bad for those that are having a hard time laying down. I would challenge them, search the scriptures. It's recorded. You know, take the recording, listen what is being said, search the scriptures out, find out for yourself, and it really comes down to this. I hope they learn to humble themselves. And I think pride is what's going to keep them from not allowing to receive the new wine. They're going to be like, no, I'm not doing it. I've been in this for this many years, and I've been going around proclaiming this, and I'm not going to say that, you know, I was wrong. Well, I'm going to tell you, don't say that you were wrong. You weren't wrong. It's just the hour of change. It's the hour
it's
of the new.
It's the new wine.
It's the new wine.
It's the new revelation that God's pouring out this hour to save more people.
Yeah, there's no need to renounce, you know, what you have believed in before or what have you. It's almost like someone that has been from another religion somehow or another was talked into being converted, you know.
Right.
and now they're converted, and they're happy for their conversion.
Right.
You know, I'm saying don't even try converting. Just receive the message.
Yeah.
Stay in your traditions.
Maybe
you like your traditions. You know, and all that Ramadan stuff and all. You know, it's all right. But take this truth, because really what it is it's not altering anybody's traditions. It's just saying your sins are forgiven, so you don't have to whip yourself and you don't have to burn any more animals or whatever by grace. And if you're hearkened to stop doing it, stop doing it. Change the way you're thinking. And really, you now can talk directly to God. And God directly talks to you.
There's an intimacy.
Yeah, there's intimacy.
There's intimacy.
And understand that there is a road that you have to begin to get on and follow. And this is the key part of why, because if you look at the old message, okay, which that involved Jesus Christ and the dying and the remission of the sin and all, the road kind of stopped. And they never went into the immortality and the incorruptible. They never walked to the end of the road, and it leads to eternal life. And this is the importance of why we have to begin to receive this message of glory, because it leads the road
eternal.
Leads to eternal life.
Yep.
And this is the important part of it. The road that they were on led to the sleeping dead. Now, because of God's timing, those who died before this revelation came out are sleeping. Okay? So if they're dead, they're sleeping. And when this revelation does come, which is the second coming, and people begin to receive it at the new age, there's going to be a rising of those sleeping dead.
Yep.
Okay? So God's not going to account them for not knowing this glory. is what I'm saying.
He said the sleeping in Christ rise first.
Exactly right. Yep. The sleeping in Christ will rise first. And this is what they're called. Those who have died before the realm of glory are just sleeping.
Correct.
Okay? And those that come to a point where we are now in glory. What I'm saying is, if you didn't leave this earth now and you heard this message, you heard my voice, you have an obligation now to receive it, really.
Yeah.
Because you're obligated now to walk the road of glory to eternal life. It's almost like, get away from me, I never knew you, worker of iniquity. You aren't going to be into that place of you've never heard, because you're not, when you die, you're not going to sleep.
Yeah.
You see? And you're going to have a judgment coming, and you're going to have to stand before and explain what's going on when that time comes. Now, the second coming might run for another 2,000 years, for all we know. How many people understand that one? We had 2,000 years with Jesus and that message.
Yep.
So this realm of glory is coming in now. We might have another 2,000 years. I don't know. I don't know when the Father's going to come and bring the end to this whole thing.
The Bible does say a new heaven and new earth will have a 1,000-year reign.
There you go.
Of the second coming.
There you go. So now maybe we're talking only 1,000 years.
Right.
All in all.
But just receive it.
Yes.
That's all we ask.
Because we don't want anyone to leave this earth and think that they're going to have the same benefits of the old manna, of God's grace and his glory in that. Because I truly believe that God can't condemn anyone that wasn't wrong.
Correct.
Just like before Jesus came, God didn't condemn any of those who died prior to his coming. They were sleeping.
Correct.
And they're still sleeping.
Yep.
You see?
Yep.
And so,
that's true.
I hope those having ear can hear. That's all I can say at that one. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Gotta end this one, because we can keep on going all night. But thank you, Jim.